Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of our faithful elderly members at the congregation I previously served, who has long since departed from this earthly journey, was affectionately known by many of the kids in the congregation as the kitchen lady. Although she didn't own the church kitchen, she carried on as if she did. And if ever you went to use the kitchen or something in it without checking with her first, you were sure to get an earful. Now, I know she meant well, and she was a tireless caretaker of the church facilities, more than just the kitchen. But her bedside manner needed some work. She offended many a member because of her harsh enforcement of the rules. I had another lady at that same congregation who loved to tell people about Jesus. She would take the city bus each Sunday to get to our church. And along the way, she would smile at folks on the bus and tell them that she was on her way to church. And she would invite them to come and worship with her sometime also. But if they would ignore her kind smiles or express why they had no interest to go to a church to worship God, her response would be a very severe, "Well, fine then, you can just go to hell." Again, I know she genuinely wanted people to know Jesus. Her bedside manner needed some improvement. Sometimes in our desire to follow the rules, we forget why those rules are there. Sometimes we get so caught up in the letter of the law that we forget all about the intent of the law. And the Pharisees were famous for this. In fact, their whole sect of Judaism was built on a strict adherence to the law, no matter what. They took the history of their people very seriously. And they were obsessed with why God had allowed them as his people to go into exile in Assyria and in Babylon. And they reasoned and understood that what had happened to them was a result of their own apostasy. And so they made it their mission to become the keepers and the enforcers of the laws of Judaism. And in so doing, they lost their way. Caring more about a strict keeping of the laws and traditions of their Jewish people, their Jewish faith, than they did about honoring God and loving people. Now, there are a number of instances of this in the Gospels. For example, in Matthew chapter 12, when Jesus' disciples and Jesus were walking through a grain field, and the disciples picked some of the grain to eat it. And it happened to be on a Sabbath day. And the Pharisees called Jesus out on it. Or in Mark chapter 3, after Jesus healed a man who had a shriveled hand. But again, it was on a Sabbath day. And the Pharisees began to plot how they could kill Jesus. And then, of course, in our gospel reading this morning from Mark 7, the Pharisees again get on Jesus' case about his disciples eating with unwashed hands. Now, it's important to note, Pharisees didn't really care that the disciples might have some environmental bacterial germs on their hands. They were more concerned the disciples might have some Gentile cooties on their hands. You know, maybe from coming in contact with a Gentile in the marketplace or somewhere out in public. And since their traditions held that you had to clean your Gentile cooties off your body, off of anything else you might use to eat with, your utensils, your plates, your cups, and so on, lest you then ingest those Gentile cooties into your body, the disciples were thus ignoring Jewish laws by not washing their hands before they ate. Since Jesus knew that the Pharisees didn't really care about the health and well-being of his disciples, only cared about the glorification of their Jewish traditions and laws, Jesus said this to them: Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. But the Pharisees aren't the only ones who struggle with this. The Christian church itself, throughout the ages, have wrestled with their own version of Pharisaic legalism in what has become sort of a Christian pietism. We in the church have tended to elevate moral behavior to the status of sanctified behavior, as if one's outward morality is tantamount to one's inward spirituality. But that is not the case. As Jesus made very clear, simply living with an outward behavior that is in keeping with a certain set of standards does not mean that one's heart has been transformed by and is being led to love. I'm sure our kitchen lady in San Francisco thought she was serving the Lord by keeping the kitchen clean and in order. But it ceased to be service to God when she let it destroy relationships with people. And I have no doubt that our evangelism lady thought she was spreading the gospel when she invited others to worship with her. But it ceased to be about God's mercy when her language and attitude were filled with her judgment. Now, I knew these Christian ladies well, and I know they meant well. But even their good intentions didn't always end well, because you see, their actions were still flowing from unclean hearts, as are the things that you and I do and say each and every day. In Psalm 51, verse 10, King David wrote this: Create and be a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He knew what the Pharisees never seemed to understand, that a clean heart can never be obtained by an outward obedience to the law. That is, in the case of our text this morning, by the washing of one's hands, but only by an inward cleansing of one's heart, which can only take place by God's forgiveness. You see, all the soap and the hand sanitizer and the antibacterial wipes in the world can never cleanse us of our sin. Nor can all of our good deeds at church, or all of our well-intentioned deeds out in our community. The only thing that can wash away the stain of our sin is the blood of Jesus. And that's the only thing that can clean our hearts is the forgiveness of Jesus. That which He earned for us through His death on the cross and through His resurrection from the grave. Thus, you and I never appear before God with clean hearts on the basis of what we do, but always and only on the basis of what Jesus has done. And that's not to say that keeping the law is not a good thing. It is. But we need to distinguish between what are the actual mandates of God and what are merely the mores of man. And likewise, we have to be careful not to let a rigid adherence to God's moral and or our church laws prevent us from living out Christ's calling to love our neighbor. Washing our hands, putting the cups back in the correct cupboard, being a person of highest moral character will not get us or anyone else even one step closer to God. Nor will those things ever make us clean before God. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. Only His forgiveness can wash our hearts. Only His grace can cleanse our spirit. It is only by His work that our hearts are made clean. To God be the glory for the cleansing blood of Jesus. Amen.